'cause I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us.
It's not too complicated, but you do need to learn how to balance your system. You know, if someone has a homebrew that you really like, you know, usually they'll give you the recipe.
Today's guest is Jamie Ashton. Jamie is one of the co-owners of Humboldt Beer Works. And we're going to talk today about making beer and just talking about maybe a simple recipe and just taking a step by step through the process. How do you do that?
It's pretty simple. If you can boil water, most likely you can brew beer. You start off by heating a volume of water. Some people brew in a 5-gallon kettle, which means that you would need to boil 3 gallons and then top up with water at the end. Some people boil in a big enough kettle so that they can boil their full volume all the way through. So basically, you heat up your beginning volume of water. As you're heating up your water, you would typically add some steeping grains. You take them out when you get to about 150 degrees. You don't want to leave them in over 170 degrees. You'll start extracting tannins that you'll notice in your beer. When you get to a boil, you'll turn your flame off and you'll mix in your extract, either your dry or your liquid or a combination of both. And the reason why you turn off your boil is because that stuff will fall to the bottom and kind of caramelize on the bottom. And you don't want it to do that because it'll impact your color and your flavor. Once that's mixed in really well, you turn your flame back on, get it to a boil. And that's when you'd add your first hop addition. Sometimes there are hop additions all the way through for an IPA. Sometimes there's only one hop addition at the beginning. And you boil for an hour. Once you're done boiling, you chill down to 65 to 68, somewhere in there. You transfer to your fermenter and you pitch your yeast.
Okay. What's your fermenter look like?
Some people use a glass carboy. Uh-huh. Some people use buckets. Some people have these fancy stainless steel conical fermenters, which are very nice, but very expensive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. As you move along with your interest in this project, I can see how it's fun to buy the toys
right.
that go along with it.
Yeah. It's easy to get sucked up in newer, better toys.
Uh-huh. So how long does that take from beginning to the point where you're chilling it down?
The boil itself lasts an hour. So there is usually, depending on how efficient you are, there is usually 30 minutes on either end of preparation, cleanup, usually about 2 hours. All grain takes a lot more time because you have to not only boil it for an hour, but you have to mash your grains for an hour. And then there's 30 to 45 minutes in between the two of sparging, which is washing water through the grain to extract your sugar. So all grain batch will typically take 6 to 8 hours for me.
Oh, okay. So that's something you want to do on the weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay. Then what happens to it?
There's a lag time between when you pitch your yeast and when it kicks in. The yeast is building, they're building cells, preparing to do their job. And then fermentation will kick in and you'll get this really active, foamy fermentation. And that typically will take 3 days to a week. Then you'll let it sit another week. You can rush it and be done with it in 2 weeks. It's best to kind of take your time and make sure it's fermented all the way through. I usually, to make sure it's fermented and partly out of laziness, I'll let it go 3 weeks, sometimes 4. And then you're ready to bottle.
Uh-huh.
So you'd blend a little bit of sugar back in called priming sugar to give the yeast something to carbonate the beer with, and you'd cap it inside the bottle. The yeast is then creating more alcohol and CO2, and now the CO2 is trapped in the bottle and it can't escape, and so it goes into solution in the liquid.
You never have anything blow up, I take it.
Well,
that's that happen?
It does happen. I mean, uh-huh. People talk about that quite a bit. It's never happened to me, and I'm lucky. That's why you want to make sure your fermentation is all the way done, because if there are sugars left in there and then you add more sugar and maybe add a little too much sugar, then you get bottle bombs and the yeast creates so much pressure inside the bottle that they explode.
Uh-huh. Okay, we don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And you teach beginning beer making classes, mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that a good way for somebody who's maybe really new at this to get a feel for it?
Absolutely. The class I taught at the co-op, we went through a whole batch. So people got to see me brew a batch and help if they wanted. And I gave them a sheet that had step-by-step instructions for what we were doing so they could then take that home. And it included the recipe that we brewed that day. I wish I had had access to something like that when I first started brewing, but I was too busy. And I did have someone that walked me through a couple batches, but I would have then liked to maybe take another one just to, you know, after time you forget.
Right.
What was
right.
he doing when he did that? And
yeah, I think it's, you know, also there are all these little tips that people don't even realize they're doing. You know, mm-hmm. they think, oh, this is, I just followed the recipe. And then you do that a couple times and you tweak things, but you don't realize you're doing it. So it's great right. to learn from somebody who's been through it many, many times.
It's the benefit of the Homebrew Club that we started, is that you can...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What sorts of things you get together, like once a month?
Once a month, we get together, and we are in the process of trying to become a nonprofit. So, and we also have been involved in some beer festivals and other things that happen around the area concerned with beer. So we usually spend about an hour talking about business. You know, we have officers that present what's going on to the members. And then the second hour, we usually have a beer style that we've picked to focus on that month, and we taste homebrew examples and commercial examples. And it's not just a session where we sit around and drink a bunch of beer. We try and have educational topics and learn something. And then toward the end, there's usually just half an hour, 20 minutes of time when we talk to each other, and it's very informal. And if people have questions, they can ask.
That's really a nice thing to offer, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, you know, you're all in the same boat. You're trying these different things, and sometimes somebody will figure out an answer and
right.
be able to share it with the yeah. other people. Where do people get their recipes for the different beers?
People get them from books, magazines. Online is an option if you're kind of careful about what you pick online. Uh-huh. A friend who's a homebrewer, you know, if someone has a homebrew that you really like, you know, usually they'll give you the recipe.
And then if someone wants to put their beer in a keg, is that something that's possible?
Definitely. It just takes, there's a little more that is involved in kegging beer. You have to, it's a little easier too. Bottling, you know, 50 beers takes a long time in 24 or 12 ounce bottles. So there's one vessel to clean and sanitize. It's very convenient to have something that you can just pull a tap and have beer come out of. It's not too complicated, but you do need to learn how to balance your system so that when you pull your handle, you don't get a bunch of foam coming out and you get mostly beer and some foam.
And do they come in different sizes? Because the only kegs I've ever seen are gigantic. So
yeah, those are commercial Sankey kegs, uh-huh. and they're 15.5 gallons. Most homebrewers use a 5-gallon Cornelius K. It's a holdover from the Pepsi and Coca-Cola. We're using them for a long time. And those have come into the homebrewing market since they don't use that method of serving their soda anymore. Those aren't being manufactured anymore. So homebrewers are going to have to find something else as those become more scarce. Uh-huh. But some people do use the commercial Sankey kegs, because they come not only in that 15.5 gallon, but they also come in, I think, 7 and 5 and some other sizes too that are more appropriate for home brewing.
Well, I know that you have your business, Humboldt Beer Works. If people want to get a hold of you or they want to buy home brewing equipment, mm-hmm. How do they do that?
They can call us. Our phone number is 442-MALT, M-A-L-T.
Oh, nice.
We have a website. It's humboldtbeerworks.com. And we have an email there that they can email us, or they can just come into the shop and talk to us.
Okay.
We're at 511 6th Street in Eureka, right next to Partrick's Candy.
That's great. Thanks so much. This has been a pleasure talking with Jamie Ashton from Humboldt Beer Works.
Thanks for having me.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do, eh?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.